Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study on 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we were taught to obey the laws of the state as well as the laws of God. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, it's interesting to me. I've had protesters stand outside our church and protest our church simply because our church is incorporated. And there are people who say churches should not incorporate. And in this country, they have the freedom to say that. I think it's a little foolish to stand outside with signs, especially when you don't belong to the church. But nonetheless, they do that. But people say, don't subject yourself to the state. And you're doing that when you incorporate. And Christ is over the church, not the state. Well, when one incorporates, the state also accepts your articles of incorporation with your articles of faith. Now, I've been in churches, and each of the churches I've been in, we've incorporated. And I have yet to have any state tell me what we can preach, what we cannot preach. However, even those people that won't incorporate will let the state tell them what to do. For example, if they have a bus ministry, the state tells them their bus drivers must have CDL license. It tells them their buses must have license plates. It tells them their buildings, if they build buildings, have to pass certain inspections and certain codes. They have to meet those. So they're subjecting themselves to the state. But for some reason or another, they often fail to recognize that part of it. Now consider this. Is the Lord Jesus Christ over the home? You say, well, yes, he is. What about government? Since he sets them up and puts down whom he will, is Jesus Christ over the government? Again, you say, well, yes. Now, since Christ is over the home, and since Christ is the Lord of the individual who is saved, can a child who is saved say to the parent, I'm not going to bed when you tell me, I'm not going to school, I'm not going to carry out the garbage because Christ is over me. He is my Lord. I have forsaken all others for him. Therefore, you cannot make me do those things. Well, what about Christ being over me and the law of the land? I say, well, look, Jesus is my Lord, and I'm in a church vehicle. I know the speed limit says 35, but I'm going to drive 90 because we're not subject to the state. Well, that's still not going to get me out of jail. I will pay taxes only if I want to. There is nothing in the Constitution that says I must pay taxes. Yeah, well, you're going to pay attention to the Constitution, but not the law of the land as it presently is. You're going to end up in jail, and there are people I know that are in jail right now because they could not obey God in this area and render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, although in other areas of life they were rendering unto Caesar. Now, my friend, God ordained leadership in the home. That leadership is under the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is answerable to him. But he is the authority over the child, and therefore God expects the child to obey the dad and mom. Government is over me. The time I don't obey government is not because I would rather do things my way, but rather, if God tells me to preach, and they tell me I can't preach it, then I'm going to obey God rather than man. But also understand, if we take consequences for obeying God, then don't walk about with a martyr's complex and a murmuring and complaining attitude. For example, if a person says, God is over me, therefore I'm not paying taxes. Well, then don't complain and don't murmur when you're spending several years in prison, because you're just fulfilling the Lord's will. Paul and Silas, when they went to prison, sung. They didn't complain. So, you know, be consistent if you're going to do that. Now, in the Greek, this is called a present participle. And you know what it simply means is this. Stay on top of this and continually know. Now, keep in mind, the word beseech is a strong word. It's strong urging, and it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. So, what we're seeing here in the first few verses here, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren. We beseech you, brethren. This is inspired by the Holy Spirit, so this beseeching is coming from God Himself. Now, we see the who are we to know. Again, our text, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. Those are the ones we are to know. Why were deacons first appointed in Acts chapter 6? Well, so that the apostles, who at that time were acting as the first pastors, could give themselves to doctrine, prayer, and the preaching of the word. Now, I want you to notice from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. Let the elders, now by the way, the scriptures use several different words for a pastor. It uses pastor, but it uses elder. It uses bishop. Sometimes it even uses a shepherd. But all those words are referring to the office of pastor. So he says, let the elders or the pastors that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Now, the pastors are worthy of double honor that labor in the word and doctrine. Deacons were found so that the pastors could labor, study, give themselves to the word and doctrine. You say, but what is double honor? That refers to the salary. It means double pay. For example, let's just say that you have a deacon board of five men. And those five men have an average salary of $20,000 a year. Well, if you double that, then it is $40,000 that you would be paying to your pastor. You say, Pastor, I'm against that. Brother Andy, I can't agree with you. Listen, I'm just preaching and teaching the Word of God. Your argument is not with me. It's with God's Word. And God's Word, God's doctrine from His Word is the criteria. Now, He says, the Scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Now, you may not have any problem agreeing that your pastor is an ox, but you're not to muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. He's supposed to have those things taken care of. If he's ministering to spiritual needs, you minister to his carnal needs. And the laborer is worthy of his reward. And then he adds, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Now, that means eyewitnesses, and it doesn't mean gossips. Okay? So, before you start hearing, well, he's taken from the till, or he's doing this, make sure you have witnesses and you just don't jump on the gossip bandwagon, because you will not only destroy that pastor, but you'll destroy many other people, and you'll give occasion to the devil to blaspheme to his people, especially if those charges prove not to be true. So, again, you make sure that you know what you're doing and what you're talking about. It doesn't say never receive an accusation against an elder. It says don't receive it without two or three witnesses. You see, the pastor is not to labor for milk only. In other words, the pastor is trying to bring you into the meat of God's Word. Sometimes you'll go to a church, they preach, you leave there, you're excited, but 3 days later, you're not sure about what. You know, they did a lot of exhortation, said a lot of things, but really didn't get into the meat of God's Word. You're excited, you're ready to do something, but you really didn't have a scriptural thing, and so the emotion is now gone, and the excitement is gone, and therefore there is no commitment. And what happens when a church stays with milk only in its preaching and teaching? Well, as Hebrews 5:14 would teach, we don't grow into meat, we don't grow mature, therefore we don't learn to discern between good and evil. Why is it that we see the contemporary movement has moved in now, and they're telling churches the same thing they were saying back in the 1930s. They act like this contemporary thing is new today. It really isn't. Back in the 1930s and 40s, they started talking about the social gospel. You know, we've got to take care of the social needs. Well, today they're saying, you know, it's good that we've tried to win souls to Christ, but now this world needs fixed, and we've got to do something to help fix this world. And so now they're talking about the environment and the church helping with things of that nature. Again, they're going right straight back to the social gospel. The only thing is, what is different now than almost 70, 80 years ago is that these people have learned some of our language, and so they say some of the words that we say, and they talk about the gospel, and they talk about love for Christ, and they mention some of the words of righteousness and holiness, but my friend, their vocabulary for those words is completely different than the Bible. And so understand that our mission as a local church is still the Great Commission. And I know people will disagree with that, but again, not really disagreeing with me, they're disagreeing with the Word of God. Now, he says, those who are over you in the Lord. Now, who is over us in the Lord in the local church? Well, we'll go back to Hebrews chapter 13. And verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or their manner of life. So who are they that have the rule over you in the local church? The boards? The committees? Some upper echelon in a city at a headquarters somewhere. Well, what does the word of God say? It's those who have spoken unto you the word of God. That's the elder, the pastor, who has the oversight, the spiritual oversight of the church. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.